minutes and 26 seconds. So just take this trip down memory lane with us and enjoy. Rodney, if you get that light over there.
grew up in a little town, used to sing in the old church house, and there in the pew where I used to hide, I learned the story about the man who died. Well, I was sure I heard that he got back up, but as we broke the bread and drank the cup, the faces told another tale. They were as dry as the bread was stale. Well, did I miss something? Was I not supposed to cry? Did they hear, preacher? Jesus is alive. If this is true, this changes everything. If this is real, then I've got to tell the world. If he God, then I've got a choice to make. If I believe, then I must follow him, yeah. Cause this changes everything. And now I've got a wife and a family. We live in a land that's safe and free. And on every corner a steeple shines, where I'm taught to build a happy life. I've been taught to build a happy life. Did we miss something? Are we not supposed to cry when so many don't know that Jesus is alive? Cause if this is true, this changes everything. If this is real, then I've got to tell the world. If he is God, or have I begun to lie? Do I really live like Jesus is alive? Cause if this is true, this changes everything. If this is real, then I've got to tell the world. If he is God, then I've got a choice to make. If I believe, then I must follow him. Real, so I've got to tell the world that he is God.
name of it, it's changed everything, you know. So it doesn't matter where Mary is, the goal is still the same, right? You want to say a little bit about that?
Well, we've got some folks down there that we really like, and they're believers, and they're interested in doing ministry things. We don't know what it's going to be. I have no idea at all. I just haven't had time to do anything much because we've been here so much. So we'll see what God's going to do.
Yeah.
We want to stay in touch with you guys very much. And we really covet your prayers to see what God's going to do in these living rooms.
All I can say about those people is they've been here. Okay? Don't say yes to Mary if you don't mean it. Is it right, Brent?
They'll learn to say no before they haven't learned that yet.
So, Brenda, I mean, you've been with this guy not just the last 20 years, but for how long have you been married?
47.
47
this summer.
46 and a half.
So a lot of times what you see is, you know, you see Mary up here. If you don't think he's going to be missed, show up next Sunday and you'll find that there's going to have to be somebody else up here who's welcome him now. And I don't know who will be able to do it like Mary. You know? I know he won't be able to do it like Mary. I'm a dingy dog, you know? That was one of the things about Mary. And from when I first heard him say hot dingy dog, I thought most people can't say that without sounding corn. It's a hard thing with Mary. Yeah, one of the things that I noticed about Mary was that he was the guy, he was the kid, you know, that at Christmas he'd ask for a pony and he walked into the barn and there was a pile of manure and he said, well, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Brenda, thank you. Thank you for sticking with him, for picking Ben. Mary, I'm going to miss you, brother.
Let me say this. If it hadn't been for Clay and Rodney, this church would not have been. I mean, I was desperately looking. And we stated that up front, that we had to find a teaching pastor. We had to find pastors that would come alongside. Because I knew that I did not have the gift of gab or preaching. And the Lord couldn't have provided anyone better than Clay and help us get started, and Rodney came in later. I knew Rodney earlier, and Rodney was right amongst us the very beginning. But I see several of you who were with us from the very beginning when we met in our house. 20 years ago, this dream possibility was what God could do. And it has been amazing to bring us.
You know, Scripture says that God changed the wisdom of this world, and He exalts the people who are foolish enough to believe and to follow Him, and to act like that, you know, a risen Savior changes everything. And I don't know how to put it except for that's the truth, and that's the way it is. And you know, we pray throughout this thing. We need to continue to pray. Ronnie's going to talk about that some in just a few minutes. But part of that journey was prayer, was connecting with Marcus and Rachel. And Marcus, you know, out there Tracy's camp. I don't think any of us were thinking they could end up in something like this. COVID came. You know, you've heard the story. COVID came, and we were praying, and we were walking down the street one day. Marcus said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And so, you know, I don't know who will be here in 20 years, but you're going to be telling a similar story to the one we're telling right now. We love you guys. Again, thank you for being obedient to follow the Lord.
Amen.
Eugene Peterson said, our life with Christ is like a long obedience in the same direction. And I don't know anybody that exemplifies that more than Mary and Brenda. Long obedience in the same direction. So, Patricia, would you and Tammy come up to have a gift, and y'all want to say some things too?
I know that you guys think that you're getting a scrapbook, but you're not, believe it or not. First of all, you didn't give us too much notice. And even Tammy and I are not that good to just have a few weeks, and especially not with our partner in crime. And the second thing is, you guys have all the pictures. And ironically, I did walk into your house a couple of weeks ago and about fell over because Brenda was sitting there, and what was she doing but pulling 20 years worth of pictures, organizing them by year, and talking about, should I put this on a USB? And I'm like, yes, yes. And let me go see if I can find one and, you know, sneak into your computer. That didn't happen, but we really, our intention was not to do a scrapbook. And Marion, you stole our idea, but we did it first. Friday night, in your testimony, you talked about the many people in your life who had influenced you. And that's what we did. We asked people to write about how you guys had influenced them. We did do a few pictures.
Okay.
You know, you got to break up some white space. But we thought that it would be better than sending cards would be to have one copy where you could access those at any time. And I've told you in there about how you've influenced me. And in the midst of all this, there's this funny rumor going around. And I've never heard of this, but I thought I'd set the record straight. For some reason, I've heard from several people that they thought that I found this building for this church. trust me, I have nothing to do with real estate, and that did not happen, but I thought maybe that was because, I mean, I was here and on the advisory council, and we looked at several buildings and all that, but the very first event that was in this church was the day we closed on the building was our wedding. That's my wedding. And first of all, this church did as we should, and we welcomed anyone, gave people a chance. And even in the current situation, you guys are an example, and I just have to say that I've actually known y'all about 25 years, and in every single crisis in the last 25 years of my life, you guys have been there, and I mean that literally. If you call Marion on the phone or Brenda, it's not, what do you need, or do you need us to come? It's, we're on our way, and that's just been, made it incredible influence in my life. So, we hope you enjoy your memories. And
I made you a bow, and I know I'll put on a wreath. What we do, but it's also got some rope. We gave you a little nautical thing there. And it was our pleasure.
Well, thank you very much.
And we do have some.
Work of art.
I know.
No, don't judge. Please don't judge. There are some cards in the back with some pens if anybody wants to write a note and didn't get a chance to.
Bless you.
I'll add it to.
We got one more gift for this. It's in my house, but it's not here, but it's a tree. We're going to
Oh my goodness.
A blood good Japanese maple. I'll bring it out this week and we can dig a hole.
Perfect.
But, you know, while we're on that, it's the same kind of little tree that we found last behind the church, and there's a marker there for it. If you haven't seen it, hadn't noticed it, take a look at it. So both these trees you can think of as a tree of remembrance, and I just want to take a second to remember some people, and I hope I can say this without getting choked up. But, you saw their faces, some of you on the slideshow, you're no longer here with us.
one.
Yeah. These
slides remind me of one more person that needs to be on that list, and that's Carol Hoffman.
Carol Hoffman.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We're going back 20 years, Carol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank y'all. You
want to
say anything else, Mary, before we make you sit down?
We love you guys tremendously, and please keep us in your prayers. We're going to continue to pray for you. And we want to see God continue to do mighty things. And we likely will come back and join you in some of those things if we can. We would like to. Okay. I know I want to come do some of the things Marcus has got going on. I think I can sling a hammer every now and then.
I agree.
That would be awesome. But thank you all so much. We love you. And thank you for the slideshow. That slideshow was great. It brought back so many memories and good things that God has done. And it's because we've been faithful, I think God has been faithful. I remember a story or two. I'm going to tell one quick story.
Yeah.
Clay had moved here. We were meeting, remember, where Marcos is now, used to be a little donut shop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the name of it.
Was it Donuts?
Buster's Donuts. And Clay had moved here, and we were meeting. We're meeting in our house first, then we moved to the associational building. And most of the people we were attracting were street people, kind of. I mean, and there were a lot of needs. And we were praying that, Lord, please send somebody that has a job and night time, you know. And I remember, and I thought, you know, I didn't move. I have a house here. Clay had transitioned from Ellery with his wife, and Lauren was traveling back and forth to go to finish her last year of school. And I thought, you know, if this thing doesn't work, it's not going to be good. Moved here and bought a house. And I went to the bank that day, and there was a check in the bank for over $2,000. It might as well have been $2 million. Because when you don't have anything and you got that, it was awesome. And I called Clay and I said, Clay, we got money to do stuff with.
Let's go eat
donuts. But God has just been faithful. That's what I can say. Just like the song we sang, God has been faithful, faithful, faithful.
Well, what we're going to do now is we're letting him sit down, but before the end of the service, we bring him back up. We're going to pray for him as they head out. But Rodney's going to come up, and Rodney's going to tie all this together. Huh? God,
thank you.
I'm going to turn to Colossians chapter 4, please. We're going to pray, and then just the thing that jumped out at Clay and I as we were meeting and kind of look at this service starting like a week or so ago was how when we looked at the next passage, Clay said, what do you think about a sermon that day? I said, Clay, have you looked at where we're going to be that week? And he said, well, no, but I said, listen to this. And I read these verses, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and we just said, go God. You know, it just blows me away how he overrides our supposed planning and thinking and intelligence or whatever it is and just kind of says, y'all can't figure this out. Just get out of the way and let me show you how I've got all this put together with his calendar and his timing and his word. And these verses just fit perfectly to me. And you don't have to stretch them very hard at all to see how they pertain to what we're talking about here today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, that you, the Holy Spirit, have promised to be our teacher, our leader, our guide, and that you would build your church, and that it would be based upon that truth of who you are and what you came to do, the gospel. Lord, we thank you for being able to remember these things, but not just to be nostalgic, but Lord, to refresh our memory, just as in the Old Testament, they rehearsed your deeds, God, to remember your faithfulness so we would know and be prepared for the challenges coming up and for moving forward in the same direction, being obedient over a long time. We thank you for those who've gone before us, and especially Mary and Brenda, but Lord, your work is so much bigger than all of us, and we just thank you for how you put it together and that we get to have a front row seat to see you do the wonderful, incredible things you do. thank you that we've been able to be a part of it in and through this body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Man, we pray you don't go to prison. I don't think you'd fare well. But if you did, God would take care of you, I'm sure. That's about the only part we don't have to stretch at all, is that all this other, if you were here, I mean, saying that prayer is important is like saying that, you know, saying prayer is something Christians ought to do is like saying, well, yeah, breathing is a nice thing for humans to do. You know, I mean, it's a sweet little idea. Yeah, you ought to breathe. You have to breathe. You must breathe. Keep breathing, you know. And you don't have to not do it very long before you won't be doing it anymore. You know, I mean, duh. But prayer is exactly that. It's not like, yeah, you better pray sometimes. You better pray often. We must continue steadfastly in prayer. You know, prayer isn't about getting more stuff from God, but really, primarily, it's about getting more of God himself. It's not about taking our want list to God. And this passage makes it really clear. Those of you who've been with us over the past weeks, you know, as we go through book by book, and we've been doing that for over 10 years now. Started in Genesis, way back. And we are now in Colossians. And looking at this book and seeing where we are today and what it's been saying, it just, again, blows my mind. But Paul's telling us in here how important prayer is. And two really important things here about prayer. First of all, he tells us how we're to pray, and he tells us what to pray for. But first of all, he tells us how we're to pray in verse 2. And he says three things about that. Look, he says, continue steadfastly. I mean, that's what we're talking about doing, right? It's continuing steadfastly. Is he talking about prayer is how you keep going in life? Maybe. I think even more, though, because it takes three English words and there's one Greek word. And that continue steadfastly in is one Greek word. It appears about 10 times in the New Testament, and most of those times are in prayer. Continue consistently, steadfastly, devoted to prayer. And so in those three English words that takes to fill at least those three words, to fill in that one Greek word, he's saying, be devoted to. It's the opposite of hit and miss. You know, he's not saying, yeah, pray when you get time, pray when you think about it. But really, he's saying the same thing that Paul has said in so many places throughout his writings. Romans 12:12 says, be constant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And in the first chapter of this very book, Paul says and turns it around, and listen to what he says. And so from the day we heard, we, the leaders, Paul, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now at the end of the book, he's saying, now you don't cease praying, and remember to pray for us. It's what goes around and comes around, isn't it? I think most of us have probably been on both sides of that thing. What a powerful thing it is to be able to pray for somebody and to see God move in and work. And you know it's not you. It's so much bigger than you. It's so much more powerful than you. It's so much smarter than you. But that God lets you have a little part in it, or a front row seat to it, or just be the willing vessel, passive vessel that he uses. How many times has God done that through Marion or through you to him? And we may not have even known it. But Paul's saying, we haven't ceased to pray for you. If you were here Friday night, you heard Marion talk about how, if he looks back over his life and how God's worked in it, what a big part prayer has been in it, and some of the special times of prayer that have been a part of that. You know, in Acts, you read in over and over in those, in chapter 1, 2, chapter 6, about the early church. That is the birth of the church. That is, we're in the maternity ward where the church is born. We read Acts. I mean, there was no church. There were just 12 or a handful, no more than 120 in chapter 2, who were locked behind locked doors meeting, just saying, so what do we do now? Are y'all sure Jesus is gone? I mean, what's up with that? And now the Holy Spirit comes, and suddenly they've got 5,000 people by the time you get to the end of chapter 2. But if you read in chapter 1, in verse 14, in chapter 2, verse 42, in chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and they were devoting themselves to what? Prayer. To the apostles' teaching and to the word and to prayer. Over and over it says it. The church was born out of prayer. It was born in prayer. It was born through prayer. It was born for prayer. And prayer is the whole thing about it. I said that St. Augustine, who, I mean, yeah, it was a long time ago, before 1,000, what, I forget, 400 AD, something like that, not too long after these people were dead. Augustine was a character, man. He was a drunk. He just hung out in taverns and bars or whatever, caves or whatever it was they were getting drunk in. But he was just a rabble-rouser. He was a womanizer. And his mother prayed consistently for him for 32 years. And now we know him as one of the early church fathers whose writings we still are reading and marveling over when he came to Christ. 32 years she prayed consistently for him. My mom didn't pray quite that long, but for 22 years. And how many times she said to me, you don't really have a choice in it. I committed you to God, and I'm still believing his promises. And I said, woman, you're crazy. You have no idea where I am or what I'm doing. Or you wouldn't even say that. She said, that's fine. I'm trusting God. How many times, Marion, in the beginning of this church, you told the story the other night of how Roger, give his last name.
Spires.
How Roger Spires challenged you and said, Mary said, we need a preacher. And Roger had spoken at the church when we were meeting somewhere else. And he said, Mary, have you committed a day to pray for him, for a preacher? He said, not quite a whole day. And he said, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to set aside. I'm going to clear my calendar. We're going to go pray for a day. And met at his hunting club and prayed all day. Mary went home, and Clay, whom he had met at a conference a week or two before, there was a message from Clay week saying, Mary, if you still want to talk about me coming to work with you as your pastor, as your preacher, I want to talk more. That's probably coincidence, right? I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't happen, right? Things like bucket trucks showing up so you could get a limb cut to get a building moved in just out of the blue. A guy drives up in the middle of nowhere with a bucket truck. What y'all doing? We're trying to get this limb cut. Let me do it for you. I mean, yeah, that kind of stuff. Just probably random, right? You know, over and over and over. I ain't had my thing on the whole time and y'all didn't tell me. What good are you? I'm sorry. You know, Martin Luther, they said, prayed for an hour regularly every day. And somebody said, well, what about when you're busy? He said, well, on busy days, I pray 2 hours. Because that's when I need it. I mean, you know, think about it. Nothing's happened in and through the body of Christ, really, apart from prayer. Nothing happens in our lives apart from it. Not because we pray our want list, but as he says here, be watchful in prayer. That word watchful means vigilant, alert. Be wide awake, vigilant, alert, eyes wide open, like I see on these military shows that I watch. Have your head on a swivel, guys. Head on a swivel. We're in a hot zone. That means have your eyes wide open and keep it moving. Look, be alert. That's what he's saying. Be alert in prayer and through prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said to his disciples, same thing. Be alert. Watch and pray. He came back 3 times. They were dead asleep. He's like, guys, wake up. Be alert. A lot's fixing to happen. I need you to pray with me. Pray for me. But watch and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. Because the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus is saying that prayer is exactly where we need to be alert. It's how we need to be alert. And it's what we need to be alert in and through. And then he says with thanksgiving. He said, yeah, we need to remember to thank God for the things he does. I think thanksgiving filters our prayer list. If I start my prayer with praise and thanksgiving, a lot of times I just kind of have to set my want list. Here's the things I need to get from God. I need God to do in my life. And then I start thanking him for what I've already got, what he's already done, and I think, you really don't need me to explain this to God. You don't really need me to explain what I need. But you tell me to make my request known to you, so I'm going to talk through them. But I'm looking at it differently. We look at it differently. When I start and when I remember first to be thankful for what he's already done, it also reminds me that I can take those big requests to him. Because I had stuff that was way too big. And so many things that I thought, that'll never happen. And it wasn't even, I didn't even have to grunt to do it. You know, what's big for God? You know, we pray really hard for certain diseases and think, well, this is just it. I mean, what's hard for God? Which diseases are really hard for him to take care of? Which problems are hard for him? What's the button on his calculator that's like, well, God could give me $5, but could he really send a check for $2,000 from a stranger or $5,000 from a stranger? How many times did we have to say, and Marion said, Rodney, I'm sorry I got you into this. I don't know if we're going to make it, buddy. We're in a really tight spot. We need to pray. I believe God wants us here. But right now, I don't know how he's going to do it, to be honest with you. And time after time, there'd be those checks. It wasn't just one check for $2,000. There'd be stuff that would just show up and come, and people would say, yeah, we've written off this over and over and over. We couldn't have asked for that. God was doing it, though. You know, Thanksgiving leavens prayer. It mixes in with it so that it does not become merely a selfish pleading to have one's own desires filled. In other words, it filters our requests. Philippians 4:6, Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Twice already in this same book, he has emphasized thanksgiving. In chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he says, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, abounding in thanksgiving. It's the context for those things to happen. In chapter 3, verse 15, just above this passage right here, he says, be thankful. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, Warren Buffett, he's what, 85, 88 now, something like that. And most of you know his name. Not like I really know a lot about it, but he's one of the most successful investors in modern times. The eighth richest man in the world, only $114 billion. In 2005, though, he decided to help raise money for a charitable foundation by offering an online auction for someone to have lunch with him. Lunch. People could auction to have a slot of time, like a two-hour slot, to have lunch with Warren Buffett. You know what it went for? $351,100 to have lunch with Warren Buffett. That's pretty amazing. Is it worth it? I have no idea. Maybe he gave him a piece of advice. You need to buy it out. Get that stock. Buy it low. I don't know what he said. But the amazing thing is, you can't put a dollar value on the opportunity we have every minute of every day to have unlimited access to God Almighty, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, to whom the angels in heaven bow and wait to carry out his bidding, who calls me and you his child. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help for the time of need. We have opportunity to do that every day. We've done it. That's why this church is here. We're going to keep doing it, and we're going to be praying for Mary. So what do we pray for? Look at verses 3 and 4. We do two things. For opportunities to communicate the gospel, and for clarity and effectiveness when the gospel shared. So what's Paul saying in 3 and 4? Here's what John Piper says. He says, I take it to mean when Christians pray, God changes circumstances and attitudes and receptivity for the word, so that instead of hitting a brick wall, the word finds an open door and becomes unusually effective. I remember the story that Shannon Long, who served as a missionary in Chile, South America, with Gay's mom and dad. And I got to know him. He's moved back to the States. I think he's finally told the church he's serving at 85, 86, something like that, that the church is finally, he's finally told the church, y'all have got to get somebody else. It's time for me to step down. So 85, Marion, not 70, right? There's no set time, but he's still being faithful. But I remember from 30 years ago, Shannon Long telling the story that there was a man in Chile that he just always had a burden for, and he shared Christ with him over and over and over. And every time he tried to talk to him about Christ, the man was resistant and just boom, brick wall. And he's like, one day he's going to give. I don't know when it's going to be, but I'm going to keep doing it. And he just kept sharing the gospel with him and loving him, talking to him. And one day he brought it up about the man's spiritual condition. And it was totally different. He was completely open. He was humble. He was receptive. He listened. He was receptive to it. He prayed to trust, put his faith and trust in Christ, committed his life to Christ. And Shannon said he went away thanking God and prayed with the man and went away. And the rest of that day he was just thinking, what was different about today? What did I say different or do different or what was different? And then it dawned on him. Today's my birthday. My name is on the prayer calendar of the publications in the United States on my birthday. And tens of thousands of people lifted up my needs today. And I'm convinced that's why that man's heart was ready and prepared. You think that's a coincidence? I don't. Because I know that when I didn't even want it and wasn't open to it, hardly, I wanted it, but I didn't know I wanted it. I didn't want to let go. That people prayed me back from the edge of hell. How many people have come through this place in the last 20 years thinking they didn't have a hope? I know some that are leaders now who couldn't even get their head up to look at you in the face. And I just say, you just think, I don't have anything. What am I going to say to them? But God, through prayer, God opened those hearts and changed those lives. We need to pray like that for people, God, to prepare hearts. Paul's saying, pray for us that we have open doors. And when those doors are open, then what needs to go through it? Well, the gospel, for clarity and effectiveness in the gospel. That's the second thing. The clarity and boldness of the preacher. And by preacher, I do not mean the person here. I mean the person who is proclaiming the gospel, who's speaking the gospel through song, through speaking, through witness, through a hand offered, through a loving smile. But then we let them know, and the difference is, Jesus came into my life and changed me. And I reached a point that I gave up. I gave in. I just got down and said, God, I'm done. Every one of us. John Piper says, in other words, there's not only a need for God to open doors, there has to be something clear and powerful to send through the door, namely the word, the mystery of Christ, the gospel. This is a prayer for all of those who have the word of God on their lips. And that's, friends, that's every one of us. So what Paul's been saying through this entire book, on the first two chapters, it was the theology. He was trying to get this church that he had never visited before, but he had a burden for. It was like a grandchild church. It wasn't one he gave birth to. But if somebody hid one to Christ, Epaphras had gone and won this church and started this church. And now he's saying, through the first two chapters, he's saying, so remember, when you're in such an ungodly environment, Jesus Christ and what you believe about Christ. He was correcting some wrong belief they had about Jesus. It's the center of this book is all about Jesus. It's about Christ. And in chapter 3, he starts saying in the first two verses, that's what he's talking about right here. This is how we do it. He says, if then, and he starts the practical side. Okay, this is what Jesus being the center, Jesus being the preeminent place that he's supposed to be. This is what it looks like. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. That's real easy, isn't it? No, it's not easy. I'm just checking to see if you're awake. And you are asleep, in fact, and hungry, so I'll shut up. He says, friends, how do you do that? Prayer. That's how I set my mind on things above and not on the things of this earth. The things we're focused on are what we hear. You know? Drop a handful of money in the middle of Times Square and see if people look. But we don't hear, you know, we hear what we're focused on. And so, the one primary way that we set our mind on things above, not earthly things, is prayer. So, according to earthly logic, this church should not be here. According to a lot of teaching and training and even the state convention, which helped us, kind of said, I hate to tell you, but you can't do it like that. Well, nah. God can do any thing he wants to do. And anything he wants to do and we trust him for, he can let us have a part in it. Friends, prayer. They told us you can't have co-pastors. So when Clay came back, we said, okay, fine, we'll have three who are equal. And God does it as he wants to do it. It doesn't have to make sense to the world. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody. There is no reason why this church ought to be here. Not logically speaking, not according to earthly things, but according to the things of God. It's so important. Mary believed that early on. And didn't get so frustrated, nor angry, at the closed doors being slammed in people's faces who fell between the cracks in this community. People like Clay came alongside. They even gave me a second chance. Once God had whittled me down to a point of obedience. And what an honor it's been to serve beside him and with him and with Clay. You know, now we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Marion and Brenda. They're going to come and sit here. We're going to pray for them as we close out the service. We're going to pray for God to continue to open doors for sharing for them, for God to continue to open doors for us. And when those doors are open, that they are all prepared to communicate it clearly. That does not mean we've got everything down to a science. It means we're willing to say, here's what happened to me. Here's what Jesus did for me. And here's what he can do for you. Here's the gospel. So we're going to continue to pray the same way for this church going forward. Mary and Brenda, come on.
come one more time, the first verse, and then all of you invited. The other night we were having life group, and I think there was at least one person who said, you know, I'm not sure I'm going. And then I said, we're having barbecue. And they said, oh, I'll be there. So we're having barbecue from the barbecue hut. So y'all come back in the back and join us. Your glorious cause, O God, engages our hearts. May Jesus Christ be known wherever we are. We ask not for ourselves, but for your renown. The cross has saved us, so we pray. Your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, so that everyone might know your name. Let your song be heard everywhere on earth, till your sovereign work on earth is done. Let your kingdom come. Amen.